If you like YouTube, you'll love YouTube Premium. Hi, I'm Sean Evans from Hot Ones, and I want to tell you about YouTube Premium. It has offline downloads, so you can watch without Wi-Fi. Background play, so you can lock your phone, and it still plays, baby. Oh, and it is completely ad-free. Yes, I said it, ad-free. Try YouTube Premium for 2 months free at youtube.com/premium. Trial eligibility varies. Terms apply. Cancel anytime.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
You are listening to Perplexity.
Today, we will be discussing one of the most influential and iconic rappers of all time. Rising from a childhood of activism and poverty, he became an iconic poet, lyricist, actor, and rapper who helped redefine the sound of West Coast hip-hop. But his life was tragically cut short at the young age of 25 on September 7th, 1996. He was brutally shot 4 times at a red light on his way to a Las Vegas nightclub. Hours before the shooting, he was involved in the assault of another man named Orlando Anderson, who allegedly had ties to the Crips. This murder case went cold for over 25 years, fueling endless conspiracy theories and speculation about who really was behind this killing, or if the rapper even died at all. However, in July of 2023, a new search warrant was executed in connection to the murder. And now it seems the answers may have been there all along. This is the perplexing story of Tupac. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Perplexity, a mystery podcast. As always, I am your host, Kadra. If you're new to the show, welcome. I tell tales every single week that have perplexed me. So if you love a good mystery that leaves you wanting more, don't worry, you're in the right place. And if you end up enjoying today's episode, I would love it if you continue to follow along. If you're a returning listener, hello, my friends, and welcome back. So happy you're here. I have a big story for you guys today. This is long awaited. I wrote this months ago, but I'm so excited because you guys, my assistant producer, TJ, is on the show today.
Hello, hello. How's everyone doing today?
This is so cool. I can't believe we're recording together. It's just been like, TJ knows I wrote this story so long ago. He requested it.
Yeah, I did. And then I wanted to wait for the trial to start before we did it, just so that, you know, we could time it a little bit better. And then that got delayed. And then just things came up, weddings for my sister and holidays and stuff. So
yeah, the trial for all of this that we'll get into later, it just keeps getting pushed back. I think now it's supposed to happen in March. So I can't guarantee a part two, honestly, because just getting this set up has been crazy, but we'll see.
We got it figured out, though. So.
Well, just a couple quick announcements, and then obviously we'll get into this big, gigantic story. And also, I just want to preface this by saying I'm going to give you guys a lot, but it really is still an overview because this whole story stretches over decades and there's so many different opinions. There's a lot of controversy in the life and death of Tupac. And then there's all these other rappers in East and West Coast. Like, it's just a lot. So we're not going to be able to have the time to get into everything. So that's why I want to hear from y'all what you think as well. But just want to remind everybody really quickly, if you have not done so yet, please be leaving reviews, 5-star reviews, wherever you get your podcasts. Each time you do that, it boosts me up the algorithms. That is really the best way to spread the word, helps me get more listeners. That helps me get put on Spotify playlists, and it really means a lot. So please do that if you haven't. And if you're watching on YouTube, I would love if you hit the subscribe button and the notification button. I'm still kind of getting into season three as well. So if you guys have specific topic requests, please let me know. I always value listener input, and we have some new listener stories and topic requests from listeners coming very soon. And last but certainly not least, wanted to remind everybody that I recently did a recording with 13 Degrees of Screams podcast. They were on my show, but I was also on theirs. So go check that out and show them some love. We talk about a scary movie that I loved. TJ did not.
It was all right.
It's called Tarot. It's on Netflix. I loved it. So we talk about that and like rate it, and it was lots of fun. And I forgot one thing. If you are still interested in checking out the Patreon, patreon.com/perplexitymysterypodcast is where you can be getting early and ad-free episodes, so much bonus content, and much, much more. We have a community over there. So go check that out. It's as little as $1 a month, and there's a 7-day free trial. Trigger warning for today's episode, listener discretion, all the sources are in the show notes. TJ, are you ready?
I mean, I feel like I should be asking you if you're ready, because you have the difficult job of trying to convince me that Tupac is not alive and well in Cuba.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. TJ is of the suspicion that Tupac didn't die. So
he's still out there. Machiavelli. Let's go.
Well, without further ado, let's get into the story of the life and maybe death of
potential
Tupac Shakur. Tupac was born in 1971 in Harlem, New York City. He was actually born with the name Lassane Parrish Crooks. His mother, Afeni Shakur, was a major activist and a Black Panther. Tupac moved frequently as a child because of his mother's activism. Afeni was actually arrested in 1969, along with a dozen other people, for allegedly planning attacks on government and police buildings. She ended up making it out on bail. Soon after, she met a guy named William Garland. Garland was also part of the Black Panthers, the Jersey City Black Panthers. And Afeni quickly took a liking to William. She ended up getting pregnant. Then she also found out that her bail was going to be revoked. So she was obviously stressed because she was expecting her first child, and now she was sitting in jail. She would end up representing herself in trial, which usually you're never supposed to do.
Yeah.
But she held her own. She was very well spoken, prepared. And during the trial, the jury would learn that undercover police had been infiltrating the Black Panthers, trying to find proof that they had planned to attack these buildings. Mm-hmm. But they were not able to find any proof. They didn't witness any illegal activity. Afeni was able to prove her own innocence. So months later, Tupac was born and she was released.
Wow, what a badass.
Yeah, I was watching a lot of interviews of her too, and she had like a really hard life. She has like this big arc, like where she gets softer, and like her relationship with Tupac was really complicated. So we'll talk about that more. But she seems like, in her later years especially, she just had like this really beautiful spirit and cared very deeply about her son.
Yeah, and I know he has that Dear Mama song and definitely about her, so
I'm yeah. sure that. Yeah, I was watching a reaction video earlier of, you know, you like watching those, a son and a dad listening to that, and the dad was like crying.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And he was just like, oh my gosh, this is so sweet. What a beautiful song it is. It's really beautiful. Okay, so after Tupac was born, remember, originally his name wasn't Tupac, but because of all the stuff that Afeni had gone through, she decided she wanted to change his name to Tupac after a Peruvian revolutionary. Afeni ended up getting a job and she won her trial. She started working as a paralegal. She went on to have two more children, another son and a daughter. But unfortunately, at least for a while, this is where things start to take a turn in Afeni's life. At this point, the father of Tupac, William Garland, wasn't involved in their life. Tupac also was led to believe that his father was dead, and he didn't have contact with him until he was an adult in his 20s, which led to some resentment for a while towards his mom.
Okay.
Afeni also started to heavily struggle with substance abuse, specifically cocaine. She struggled to keep a job, and the family ended up having to go on welfare. Tupac did have a lot of outlets in his life. He talks in interviews about how acting really saved him. He enjoyed and was really good at acting. He started joining these different theater groups, and he really found this as like an escapism. He would say, "It helped me become somebody else." Tupac's family ended up relocating to Baltimore in 1984, and this is when he enrolled in the Baltimore School for the Arts. He also had a fondness for Shakespeare. He was known by his peers and his teachers to be very intelligent, funny, mature, and talented. But when Tupac was just a junior in high school, one of his classmates was murdered in a gang-related shooting, and this would be Tupac's first experience with violence.
When was this? You said...
1984.
Okay.
Athene feared for his safety after all of this happened and the safety of her other children. They were in a tough area. And so ultimately she made the tough decision. I don't know what happened to the other kids at this point, but she relocated Tupac to actually live essentially on his own with a friend in California.
Okay.
And Athene continued to struggle with substance abuse. Tupac and his mother's relationship continued to suffer, and they ended up not speaking to each other for a while. He was essentially on his own, and so obviously he had to grow up really quickly. So a lot of people in interviews are like, Tupac's so mature, very well spoken, and he is, but a lot of that is because of what happened to him at such a young age, I think.
Yeah, oh no, definitely. Having to be on your own like that. I mean, you said 84. How old is he at that point? Like,
he was born in, I think, 71.
Yeah, so the 13, 14
year old? 71, yeah.
Wow.
It's crazy.
It's not quite the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air where you're
moving
with Aunt Viv and Uncle Phil.
Yeah, exactly. No, he did not move in with a rich aunt and uncle. So he ended up moving in with a group of friends in California while he continued his schooling. But he's now living pretty much on his own. It's like him and a bunch of roommates when he's a teenager. So he needs money. They have to afford their apartment. So he started working various odd jobs. He was writing poetry. He was working at like a pizza place at one point, but he also started selling drugs. Tupac would later say in an interview, he started spending a lot of time with various gang members because they were all he had and he knew they would protect him. This was like his second family. He was very determined to make it. He wanted to make money and be successful. And this was the hand he was dealt. So he did what he needed to do. He didn't end up selling drugs for very long either because he said he actually wasn't very good at it. He continued to work at the pizza place, which is how he often got his meals.
Okay. Yeah.
He ended up not graduating high school because he would find out his senior year, he was a few credits short and he just didn't really see the point in going back for another semester. He was a lot more worried about making money and being able to eat.
That's very fair. I mean, when it comes down to that, like, last thing, two credits and a diploma or, you know, being able to survive.
Yeah, he had a lot bigger things to worry about.
Yeah, for sure.
So this is when he relocates again. He ended up in Oakland, California, and he started pursuing more of a music career. He ended up befriending a woman named Layla Steinberg. I watched a couple of interviews with her. She would later say she fell in love with Tupac in a spiritual sense. And she became his first manager.
Okay.
Yeah, I know.
Interesting way to put that.
Yeah, I know. She seems like a really nice woman. Their relationship, basically, from what I gathered, it's like complex and unique.
Is it like The Blind Side or?
I don't know. Yeah, she's older than him. So it does seem kind of motherly. But at the same time, the way she talks about him, sometimes it's a little like, I don't know. Yeah. I don't want to speculate. But yeah, it is interesting.
Yeah.
But Tupac did move in with Layla. He didn't have the means yet to have a place of his own. And in 1990, with Layla's help, Tupac did join the hip hop group Digital Underground. They were very famous in the 90s.
Yeah.
And in 91, he started being featured in their songs. He ended up eventually getting a contract with Interscope Records, and he released an album that did really well. And this album propelled Tupac's stardom because it got the attention of some very prominent people, including Suge Knight. an American record executive, and he was also the CEO at the time of Death Row Records. Knight was a central figure in gangster rap, being very huge in the 90s. Suge was also financed by Interscope, and this plays into the story. So just good things to keep in mind. Interscope, Death Row, working together. They also had alleged gang affiliations that we'll talk more about. In 1991, Tupac released his first solo album, Tupacalypse Now, which sold over 500,000 copies.
Yeah, that's great.
On this album, Tupac did something really historical because at this point, hip hop was mostly party music, more upbeat. Tupac was rapping about really important social issues. Mm-hmm. He was rapping about racism, police brutality, poverty, gang violence, teenage pregnancy, and drug abuse. Tupac also started developing relationships with very big names like Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg. Mm-hmm. Later, Tupac started coming under fire, though, after releasing this type of music.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, definitely, that was definitely the big thing at the time was using the social activism kind of aspect. And a lot of America did not like it when... especially black men were criticizing certain things that were going on. So,
right. Later, Tupac came under fire after a teenager named Ronald Ray Howard would murder a Texas Highway Patrol trooper named Bill Davidson. Howard had been stopped for a broken headlight on April 11th, 1992, when he opened fire on the officer. The car was later found to be stolen, and it would be found Howard had cocaine and cannabis in his system. Howard and his defense later claimed rap music conditioned him to hate police officers and that he had been inspired by Tupac's song, Soulja's Story. But luckily, the jury didn't buy it, and Howard was later sentenced to death by lethal injection.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess they wanted to make an example out of the kid that murdered a cop.
Yeah.
I also found an LA Times article from 1994 that talked about a different trial in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. This was a little bit harder to find, but two teenagers, Curtis Lee Walker and Denzis Jackson, planned a sniper attack on a police van, and they killed a 31-year-old officer, William A. Robertson. And the teens would later say that, quote, because of a Tupac record that talks about killing the police, they were inspired. The LA Times article would go on to say, quote, this is the second criminal case in which Shakur's music has been blamed for inciting the murder of an officer, and it will most certainly renew criticism of the record industry and rekindle the free speech debate over violent lyrics, end quote.
Yeah, that's, I mean, just very interesting because I think that conversation's still going on today. I know definitely with like Kendrick Lamar, the whole, like, I forgot the Fox News host, Guerrero, who said, this is why hip-hop is doing more damage than racism to black people in America.
Is that what that's from?
Yeah, yeah.
I've heard that quote, but I didn't know who it was about.
Yeah, yeah. And it was definitely about Kendrick Lamar. I can't remember if it was All Right or which song it was, but it kind of hinted to We Hate the Police and... Yeah, they took that and ran with it.
I love Kendrick Lamar.
Oh, yeah. I mean, definitely. Me too. But, I mean, it's that I think wasn't there someone else? There's another rapper very, very recently who they were trying to use his lyrics against him in court. And, yeah, the argument that it's just art. It's, you know, what Eminem did. You know, he wasn't actually doing all those horrendous things that he said he was thinking about in his songs. So it's, there's some disconnection between where you can like exaggerate these things in songs and, you know, use a little bit more powerful messaging in a song where it doesn't necessarily mean that you want, okay, we actually want cops to die.
Right. And then I think also just the concept of like, just because I, on the other side of the country, write something doesn't mean that it's okay for another person on the other side of the country to murder someone and then blame it on me.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't make any sense.
He did not say, you, blah, 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 whatever his name was.
Right.
Please kill this police officer.
They're responsible for their own actions.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely.
Yeah. It's just ridiculous. These cases would get the attention of the White House, and the Vice President, Dan Quayle, started to make a lot of statements in the media. He was saying things like, "There's absolutely no reason for a record like this to be published. It has no place in our society." And Bill Davidson's widow, one of the officers that was killed, she would later sue Tupac for millions of dollars, with the suit claiming the label and Tupac had been negligent in manufacturing and distributing this music that incited imminent lawless action. However, this suit did not go anywhere and it was later thrown out. Have you heard of Dr. C. Dolores Tucker?
No, I haven't.
So I hadn't either, but she was the chair of the Political Congress of Black Women in Washington. So this was a Black woman in Congress that also started scrutinizing Tupac.
Okay.
She encouraged Black lawmakers to go to Capitol Hill and take part in anti-gangster rap hearings. She hoped Officer Robertson's death would serve as a warning to these labels and rap artists. And she said, quote, "This case confirms what many of us have long been saying, that gangster rap encourages vulnerable youngsters to commit horrible acts of violence. Gangster rap may not be the root cause of the violence, but it's dangerous because it encourages young people to try to heal their pain in violent ways," end quote. Mm. So from pretty much the beginning of Tupac's career, there were people against him.
Yeah.
And in his childhood, he already was having like a rough go of things. And there's interviews where he's basically saying like, it just never stops. People are always coming after me. There's always something going on.
Yeah.
And I mean, yeah, those, it's very accurate.
So it's all from his first album to his first solo album?
I think so.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Because then Tupac went on to release three more albums.
Mm-hmm.
Arguably, the album that was the most iconic was his fourth album. This is the one that most people are familiar with, All Eyes on Me. The song California Love also became super, super popular, reaching number one on the Billboard's Hot 100. The song went international. Throughout his whole career, he ended up releasing 21 albums, and he sold over 75 million records.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Same numbers.
Yeah.
Especially back then, you know.
Yeah, that's very true.
Like, there was no bots to bump up those numbers or anything like that.
No, yeah. That's how you know he was legit. No, yeah. Bots. At this point, Tupac is doing really well financially. And he actually financed an at-risk youth center. He paid for sports teams in South Central. And he also set up his 800 hotline. He did this so that kids could call him if they just needed somebody to talk to.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I really liked that.
Yeah.
He also continued to write poems. He's still acting. He started starring in all these different movies, Gridlocked, Bullet, Juice, and Poetic Justice. But as Tupac continued to rise to fame, he would become embroiled in the East Coast-West Coast rap rivalry. And this is where things get controversial, because some of the interviews I've watched with Tupac, he's like, "I've always been West Coast. This mm-hmm. is how I've always been, like, in my spirit, basically." And then there's all these people that are like, "He had proven gang ties, blah, blah, blah." And he would always say, and his manager would always say, he wasn't affiliated with any gang. He was trying to, like, bridge the gap between the Crips and the Bloods.
Yeah.
And he would talk to everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. So lots of different opinions.
And it's very interesting that, I mean, he spent, I mean, over half his life at this point on the East Coast. And, I mean, I'm sure he's only in his 20s at this point, so he hasn't spent that much time on the West Coast, but he could have been such a unifying factor on both sides, you know, yeah. bringing them together.
Right. So in August of 1992, Tupac was getting ready for a benefit concert in Marin County, California, when a group of men started to attack Tupac while he was in his car. The men were throwing rocks and swinging baseball bats. According to various witnesses, Tupac was carrying a pistol. He has also said multiple times that he is a gun owner, but all of his guns are legally owned. So he has this pistol on him. This fell on the ground during the encounter. Then someone proceeded to pick it up. The gun went off accidentally, and this resulted in the death of an innocent bystander, which was a six-year-old boy named Quade Walker Till.
Yeah, that's awful.
He had been riding his bicycle at the nearby playground. And this,
it's awful.
Yeah, it's
Yeah.
I mean, what do you say? It's horrible.
Yeah. And this was, it's just like in the middle of the street, some people start attacking him.
Yeah, he was like getting ready for this benefit concert. It's like out in the open in this park area. And because of these various alleged like rivalries,
mm-hmm.
there was some type of fight that broke out. This group started apparently attacking Tupac in his car. So naturally he's going to defend himself.
Yeah.
And then, something happened where somebody picked up the gun, probably trying to shoot Tupac or something, but it went off accidentally and stray bullet hit this poor boy.
Yeah.
So obviously Shakur and his friends were all arrested, or I wrote friends. They're not his friends. These men. But they were all later released and no one was charged in Quaid's death. According to those close to Tupac, he was absolutely inconsolable during this time. And in 1995, Quaid's family filed a civil case against Tupac.
Mm-hmm.
They ended up settling out of court, with the family receiving several $100,000 in compensation.
Yeah.
Because it was his gun.
I can't believe that no one got charged for it in general, but...
I know.
I mean,
well, there are probably not security cameras. And then if there's not enough witnesses to like pinpoint
exactly
who fired the shot.
Yeah.
What do you do? And also, just like gang mentality with police, nobody's going to talk.
Yeah.
So they probably couldn't pin it on one specific person. But yeah, at the same time, you would think they might try to make an example out of them because it's a child and like, let's just charge all of them, you know? But yeah, it's crazy. So Tupac ended up having a couple of other run-ins with the law after this. When he was 23, he was convicted in LA of battery and possessing a loaded and concealed firearm. There was another significant instance when Tupac witnessed two white men harassing a black man, and Tupac confronted the men. The confrontation became violent, and both the white men and Tupac pulled weapons. Tupac ended up shooting and wounding both men. And it turns out they were off-duty police officers. Tupac was arrested and charged. After an investigation, though, it became clear that these two undercover officers were intoxicated at the time of the crime. They had instigated the entire altercation. The gun they threatened Tupac with wasn't even a service weapon. It was stolen. So Tupac's charges were dropped.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
Yeah.
They probably thought they were going to get away with it, too.
Yeah, they probably did. So in November of 93, when I was born, another very significant legal time for Tupac. So we're going to get into more sensitive topics and controversy. Tupac has continued to maintain his innocence throughout this whole thing. So I want to make that very clear. But also, this is very serious because we're going to talk about sexual assault.
Yeah.
Tupac and some of his crew were accused of assaulting and raping a 19-year-old girl. The day before, Tupac had met this girl at a club. They went back to the place that he was staying at in New York, like some hotel, I guess, where they smoked and had sex. Tupac was 22 at the time. And the next day, she left a note for him saying that she had a great time. And so Tupac's manager made arrangements for them to meet up again.
Yeah.
According to Tupac, when the second hangout occurred, there were three what they called roadies that entered the room, and Tupac left to talk to his publicist. So there's just kind of people going in and out all night. Mm-hmm. So Tupac maintains that he stepped out, was talking to his publicist, and then he ended up falling asleep later on the couch. But according to this girl, she was assaulted and raped by these three roadies and Tupac. The girl also later testified that Tupac wanted to share her with his three friends.
Okay.
Yeah. Tupac continued in interviews in the media to maintain his innocence.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, while all this is going on, Tupac was in and out of jail for other things. Right when the trial for the rape was about to begin in 1994, Tupac was robbed and shot as well while he was at his recording studio. Tupac would later say when he first got to the studio, he heard a voice coming from the floor above him. He recognized the voice and he headed towards it, realizing this is one of Biggie Smalls' supporting musicians. Also at the studio during this time were Biggie and his manager, Diddy, Sean Diddy Combs, as in P. Diddy. We're not going to get into all of that, but yeah. Biggie, also known as B.I.G., and Diddy were East Coast.
Yeah.
Biggie was notorious. He was a New York rapper. And then meanwhile, you have Tupac, Suge Knight, and Dre that were labeled West Coast.
Yeah.
Biggie and Tupac were friends at the time, but after this event, they started to become enemies. So at the studio, Tupac and his friends were approached by two armed men. The men ordered the crew to get on the ground, but Tupac refused. One of the gunmen then tried to steal Tupac's jewelry off of him, and Tupac was shot in the head, his hand, and his groin. But miraculously, none of the bullets were fatal or caused serious damage.
Oh my gosh, yeah. That's crazy.
Anytime someone's shot in the head and they survive, I'm always like, that just blows my mind.
Yeah, bulletproof. Yeah. Men wish death upon me.
Well, you bring up a good point. A lot of people labeled him bulletproof.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Suge also was like just completely beside himself. That comes up later. But when Tupac was killed, Suge was like, no, he's bulletproof. Like, he's invincible. There's no way.
Yeah.
Like, he gets shot all the time. He's going to be fine, was essentially his energy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So after he had been shot, he then went upstairs. So he's been shot in the head, the groin, and the hand. And he's like crawling. He gets up the stairs and he sees Biggie and Diddy up there. And Tupac suspected they were involved because they heard all this going on probably and didn't do anything.
Yeah.
Is his thought.
And but it was his musicians, like people on the label, right? Or.
So it just says two armed men.
Okay.
But they were there. Tupac was there. And then like literally everybody else that was there was East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of assumed that these men were associated with the East Coast group.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tupac suspected that Biggie was involved, but he denied any type of involvement. And then there's also interviews with Tupac where he says, you know, because the media is like, they were enemies. And that's what I was saying earlier too. But Tupac says, at least in the interviews I watched, that Biggie was like his little brother.
Yeah.
He was like the reason that Biggie Smalls became famous.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that they were enemies. It's that he's his little brother and just sometimes he's going to piss him off. And yeah. He was basically saying, like, sometimes I just have to put him in his place. But he was like, we just have different opinions, was his wording. He was like, I don't hate him. We just have different opinions.
Okay. That's interesting. Because, yeah. I mean, I knew that they were friends before a lot of it. But I know that also maybe it's just because they were the two most popular. Like, they were the most commercially successful artists that the media around it was pushing this narrative of them being less friendly than they were.
Tupac got a lot of negative attention in the media.
Mm-hmm.
So that definitely could have been part of it. People do that all the time. Like, I was just watching that whole thing with Blake Lively, all that stuff going on. But they were trying to say that like Anna Kendrick and Blake Lively hate each other. And there's all these little clips of like, look at and like all these clickbait titles. And then you actually watch them and it's just like them making little jokes at each other. Like it's not... You know, so people always try to blow things up in the media.
I mean, it's not like that one with Kylie Jenner at the Golden Globes, right? Who was that? Nicole Kidman?
Oh, my God. Demi Moore.
Or Demi Moore,
talking
yeah.
Talking to Timothée Chalamet. Yeah. And guys, if you have not seen this, you need to watch this video. There is a clip at, what is that, the Golden Globes?
Yeah.
Where, first of all, Demi Moore and Kylie Jenner are wearing like the same outfit. And Demi Moore walks up to talk to Timothée. And Kylie and Timothée are, you know, dating. Kylie keeps looking at Demi like, oh, is she going to talk to me? Is she going to talk to me? And Demi's just completely ignoring her and just keeps talking to Timothée. And it's so funny because you keep seeing Kylie like open her mouth like she's going to say something.
Yeah.
I'm not used to seeing a Kardashian or a Jenner not get what they want, not get attention. So there's something very satisfying about it.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean... they're something. That's a whole nother topic. Yeah, maybe we can do a little bit of
an episode about them. There's a lot of conspiracies about them.
Oh, I'm totally sure that there's some shady things going on with that family.
Yeah.
I mean.
Well, actually, Kim Kardashian does come up later in this episode.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
So there was not any type of charge brought against anyone in the shooting at the studio.
How's that happen?
Well,
I mean, I guess
again,
no one's going to snitch.
Nobody's going to talk. Yeah.
And I mean, that is one thing I have heard is Diddy is a scary person.
I've also heard Suge Knight is a scary person.
Oh, I mean, yeah, Suge for sure.
Yeah.
Incredibly scary, but like even to his own people.
Ooh.
As I know, I can't remember, Toy Soldier by Eminem. He talks about, he bleeps out Suge's name, but he talks about how he got shot up and like one of his friends died at his studio or something.
This is a song Eminem wrote?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He bleeps out Suge's name, but it like obviously rhymes with Suge, and it's like there's not many.
That comes up in the theories later a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure, you know, Diddy is moving in similar ways, and we all know now.
Yeah. Eminem loved Tupac.
Yeah.
He wrote letters to his mom, Afeni,
mm-hmm.
and he basically said that, like, Tupac inspired him to become a rapper.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, he absolutely loved Tupac. So it would be way later in June 2011 that a man named Dexter Isaac would confess to the studio shooting.
I'm sorry. Dexter Isaac is the whitest name I've ever heard.
I didn't look up what this guy looks like. I actually don't know.
I mean, I'm imagining, like, I don't know, someone you're going to stuff in a locker and maybe give a swirly later.
Dexter Isaac.
Giant circular frames.
If I find a picture of him, I'll put it in the video.
Did he have his store's gun in his pocket protector?
He had to adjust his glasses before he made the shot. Oh, God. Well, he confessed and he wrote a letter saying that he was one of the men involved in the robbery and shooting. He would claim another man named James Rosemond, a.k.a. Jimmy Henchman, had paid him to steal Tupac's jewelry.
Okay.
Rosemond wanted a particular ring of Tupac's, but his ties to the crime were never proven. It remains unclear if this was legitimate or a false confession, which does happen.
Yeah.
But in 2015, Rosemond was convicted for a separate murder for hire plot, so make of that what you will.
Okay, yeah.
Just so, you see how this is very complicated. There's so many people in, like, maybe they did, maybe they didn't. I don't know. So after this robbery, a rivalry between Biggie and Tupac would grow, as well as a rivalry between Diddy and Tupac. The hip-hop community and the media also didn't help.
Yeah.
Tupac started releasing songs aimed at Biggie. Tensions between East and West Coast rappers were building.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're going to go back to the rape trial, because that's still going on during all of this stuff.
So yeah.
I know, it just doesn't stop.
Yeah, he wasn't kidding. It does not stop. Everything's going on in his life. Yeah.
Poor guy's in his 20s and he's lived like 10 lifetimes.
Mm-hmm.
So regarding the rape trial in 1994, the defense argued that it was all consensual and that the woman had become jealous after seeing Tupac with another woman. But Tupac was convicted of first degree sexual abuse along with his road manager, Charles Fuller. He was acquitted of sodomy, rape, and weapons possession. On February 7th, 1995, Tupac was sentenced to 1.5 to 2.5 years. And the same year, Tupac actually got married to an actress named Keisha Morris.
Okay. Well, that's weird. So you said earlier that all of his weapons were legally obtained.
That's what he says.
Okay.
That's
the second time that was a weapon, just owning the weapon.
That's what he says in one interview. And then there's another interview where he's talking about how, like, he's the reason that East Coast has guns. Like, he's like, I've helped East Coast more than East Coast, and I'm the reason they have guns.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll, like, say things like that, which is, like, giving you the obvious opinion that they were illegally obtained.
Yeah.
But then he's like, I'm a gun owner, all my guns are legal. But that's also, like, separate times. Like, the interview where he was saying all my guns are legal, it's, like, during the trial, he's talking to reporters right outside the courthouse.
Mm-hmm.
So context, I don't know.
Yeah.
That's just one of the things he said in an interview is that he owns guns and they are legally owned. That's what he says.
Yeah.
So Keisha Morris, they had met months earlier at a nightclub. The marriage was short-lived and annulled just 10 months later. During Tupac's time in prison, he was also assaulted. He had a lot of difficulty adjusting, and he was telling Suge about all of this. Suge Knight was visiting Tupac often, and he ended up offering Tupac a deal because he has a lot of money. And so he was like, I'll post your bail, which was set at $1.5 million, in exchange for you making me music and making me money.
Yeah.
So Tupac agreed, and he was released from prison in 95. And this will also later play into some of the conspiracy theories.
Okay.
So he's making music for Suge. He's making music for Death Row. And this was also controversial. It seemed to some people that Tupac wasn't able to make music on his own terms.
Mm-hmm.
And that same year, Tupac also founded Outlawz, a hip hop group that consisted of 10 original members. And now we get to September 7th, 1996, the day of the shooting.
Okay.
So at this time, Tupac was dating a woman named Kadeda Jones. Kadeda would later say Tupac had been behaving strangely the whole day. He appeared on edge, and he had just attended the MTV Music Awards.
Mm-hmm.
There had been a fight at the awards, and he was planning to go out that night. Kadeda would later say he tried to get Tupac to wear a bulletproof vest, but he refused. So they knew that something wasn't gonna go right.
Yeah.
That night.
Yeah.
Kadeda had stayed at the hotel while Tupac went out to watch the Mike Tyson fight. Then he later planned to go to an after party at a Las Vegas nightclub. Now we get to Orlando Anderson. So he was an alleged member of the Crips. He later encountered Tupac in the hotel lobby, and there is footage of this.
Mm-hmm.
So footage from the hotel shows a fight breaking out between Orlando Anderson, Tupac, and Tupac's crew, including Suge. And Suge was allegedly associated with the Bloods.
Oh, okay.
Mob Piru.
Yeah, Mob Piru. Okay.
The LA Times would later say Anderson previously had run-ins with Death Row that same year.
Mm-hmm.
After he stole a gold chain from one of their employees at the Lakewood Mall. Luckily, no one was seriously hurt in this fight, but Tupac left the hotel very shaken up. He talked to Kadeda, and he told her that something was probably going to go down that night, and he told her to stay at the hotel. Tupac then changed his clothes and left the hotel again. Suge and Tupac headed to a club opening with their large crew, piling into 10 cars.
Mm-hmm.
Suge was driving a black BMW 750 or 750 with Tupac riding shotgun. At a stoplight on the corner of Flamingo Road and Koval Lane, a white Cadillac with a California license plate pulled up next to Knight's car, Suge's car, on the passenger side, with four men inside. One of the men inside of the white Cadillac then proceeded to fire 13 rounds, with four hitting Tupac in the chest. Suge was also grazed by shrapnel, but no serious injury. The white Cadillac quickly fled the scene. Chris Carroll was the first officer to arrive, and he would later say in a 2014 interview he spoke to Tupac while he was being treated. When he started asking Tupac about the shooting, his demeanor seemed to change. When Carroll tried to get information about what happened, Tupac simply said, "Fuck you."
Damn. Okay.
Then he began to slip out of consciousness. On September 13th, 1996, at the age of 25, Tupac is said to have succumbed to his injuries.
Allegedly.
People were pretty shocked by this because the media reported it wasn't a serious injury.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that also plays into the conspiracy of his death a lot.
Yeah.
They said he had been shot, but it wasn't serious. And again, he had been shot multiple times in the past and he had survived. So fans were publicly refusing from the very beginning that he had died. A big part of this also was many more albums were released after he had died.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, police were investigating and they got word about the altercation at the Mike Tyson fight involving Orlando Anderson. They also got several tips that Orlando Anderson was involved in the shooting. Anderson was seen days later with the same type of gun that was used to kill Tupac, a .40 caliber Glock.
Mm-hmm.
Additionally, Orlando Anderson's cousin, Jerry Bonds, was seen driving a white Cadillac into an auto body shop in Compton, the same kind of car used in the shooting.
Yeah, back in California with license plate. Yeah.
Seems pretty cut and dry.
Yeah.
Right?
I would assume so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So why was this not solved for 25 years? In November of 1996, a witness to the shooting who had been sitting in the car behind Tupac's was murdered in an apartment building in New Jersey.
Okay, yeah.
The investigation was also incredibly confusing for Tupac's family because police were giving them very little information as well as conflicting information. For example, they would say things like, they had suspects. Then they would say things like, they didn't have suspects. On March 9th, 1997, there would be another murder, the murder of Biggie Smalls. And his murder, like Tupac's, remains unsolved to this day.
Mm-hmm.
But during the investigation into Biggie's murder, Dwayne Davis's name came up, the man who is now going to be on trial for Tupac's murder.
Okay.
Davis also drove a Chevy Impala at the time of Biggie's murder, matching the description of the suspect's vehicle involved in that murder. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man.
It's alleged that Dwayne Davis was taken in after this for a police interview, but he was told he was not a suspect. Aside from driving the same kind of car as the killer, police had no other information or evidence to link Dwayne Davis to Biggie's murder. This was all circumstantial. So eventually, in September 1997, Orlando Anderson would sue Tupac's estate for millions in regards to the fight and the assault at the hotel.
Okay.
Bold.
Yeah.
Tupac's family would also file a wrongful death suit against Anderson, who continued to profess his innocence and would also say publicly that he heavily admired Tupac.
Yeah. I always get in fight with people I admire.
Right. But Orlando Anderson also claimed he had never met anyone in Tupac's entourage and that he had no idea why they attacked him at the hotel.
Okay.
Yeah, not buying it. Orlando claimed that after the fight, he went back to his hotel and stayed in bed the rest of the night. Then he went back to California the next day. So that's the other thing, is like his alibi is not airtight. There's no witnesses to confirm this. In March of 1998, Orlando also changed parts of his story in his deposition for the wrongful death suit. He even admitted that he lied under oath. Suge also went on to go to prison for a parole violation, and he was an active participant in the fight at the hotel.
Because he was, or?
Yeah.
Separately, okay.
Yeah, that's why he went back to jail. I don't know what his parole violation was for, like what he had gotten in trouble with before, but yeah, you can't be fighting when you're on parole, so.
I guess not.
Orlando Anderson was also later killed in May 1998 in an allegedly unrelated gang shooting, and he was only 23. Lots of deaths, complications, cover-ups, like people that were involved or getting killed. It's scary.
It's a little messy because this one family is involved with both murders, basically.
Dwayne Davis's family and like Orlando. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like hard to say, oh, it was East Coast or West Coast or, you know, anything like that, because he was doing it for both. So
that's true. Yeah. Because Orlando is said to have ties to the Crips.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or Crips Bloods. Yeah.
Yeah. In August 2001, after serving about 5 years, Suge was released from prison. In 2018, Dwayne Davis did an interview after being diagnosed with cancer. Davis would say he needed to speak out. He admitted to being in the front row of the vehicle involved in Tupac's murder.
Okay, yeah.
He claimed that the assailant was in the back seat, but he refused to say who it was. But Davis has also previously told the police that his nephew, Orlando Anderson, had the gun. So a lot of people think that Orlando Anderson carried out the shooting and Davis is kind of trying to protect him, but he's also like talking.
Yeah. Why talk at all at that point?
Right.
If you're going to say my nephew has the gun and someone in the back seat of my car was the one who shot him, like,
right.
I feel like you're pointing a lot of fingers at one person.
Exactly. But also it's hard now too, because Orlando Anderson isn't alive.
Yeah.
He's been killed too. So it's like he can't really speak for himself. And then, yeah, you're kind of getting one side. I don't know.
Yeah.
So too many, what actually happened seems quite obvious. Orlando Anderson murdered Tupac. Dwayne Davis was involved. Mm-hmm. And pretty open and shut. They have the white Cadillac. They had the same kind of gun. Dwayne Davis is talking about it. Multiple people saw Orlando with this gun. He was in the area at the time of the murder. Like, come on. So to a lot of people, they just don't understand why this hasn't been solved. We could argue that it was hard for them to solve this because of like lack of witnesses willing to talk, with many of them also being picked off. But let's talk about something that happened in 1998.
Okay.
A 40 caliber Glock, the murder weapon in Tupac's death, was confiscated from someone's backyard. Compton police showed up and booked the weapon, but nothing was done with it. Mm-hmm. In 2000, the LA County Sheriff's Department took over Compton law enforcement. And during this takeover, they transferred 3,800 confiscated firearms to their department. In 2006, Deputy T. Brennan, who had been working on Biggie's murder case, discovered the address where the 40 caliber Glock was found. Mm-hmm. And wouldn't you know, this address belonged to the girlfriend of a Crip member who was known to have beef with Tupac. So they just found this gun at somebody's girlfriend's house that was enemies with Tupac.
Yeah.
The same kind of gun. LAPD knew that they probably had Tupac's murder weapon. But in order to like prove this, because the crime happened in Vegas, it would have to be taken to Vegas for processing because nobody likes to do things outside of their jurisdiction, you know?
Yeah.
But it was never sent to Las Vegas.
Just hold on to it.
Yeah. People say this is because they didn't want to tip off any conspirators looking into Tupac's death. Which I'm like, that's not a reason. What do you mean?
We don't want people trying to like come up, formulate their own opinions on something. Like,
it's kind of like when police are like, well, they're like when there's a serial killer out or something and they're like, well, we didn't want to tell the public because we didn't want to raise alarm. It's like, tell people. So July 17th, 2023, Las Vegas police searched Dwayne Davis's home, Orlando Anderson's uncle. Mm-hmm. He had a warrant out for his arrest after he failed to appear in court for separate legal charges. Police found multiple items in his house tying him to the Crips, along with multiple computers, a cell phone, a hard drive, a Vibe magazine that featured Tupac, several 40 caliber bullets, two tubs containing various photographs, they didn't say what, and a copy of Dwayne Davis's tell-all memoir, Compton Street Legend. Yeah, so this is the other thing. He wrote a book.
Yeah.
And in the book, he implicates himself in Tupac's murder.
He said he did it, or?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Like, not that he murdered him, but that he was involved.
Well, I mean, didn't he already say that he was in, or was that someone else who said that?
No, that was also him, but he even wrote it in like a book and like published it so that he could make some money off of it.
Yeah.
Like, he's openly talking about how he was involved.
Yeah.
Yeah. Police would also later say Dwayne Davis incriminated himself during police and media interviews way back in 2008.
When did all this happen? 2014, you said, or?
When did what happen?
The gun being found, the memoir, all this stuff. Like, when is this happening? Because you said way back in 2008. But I thought we were like...
Yeah, it's confusing. So basically, yeah. Let me go back here. So in 1998, 2 years after Tupac's murder, they find the gun.
Okay.
And then LA County ends up taking over Compton law enforcement. Compton's the one... It was found in Compton.
Yeah.
They transfer all these guns to their department. In 2006... there's a police officer investigating Biggie's murder case, and he finds out about the 40 caliber Glock. And he's like, why was this never taken to Vegas?
Yeah.
More than 10 years has gone by at that point. And then in 2023, so very recently, they search Dwayne Davis's home and they find all these ties to Tupac and also to the Crips.
Okay. Was the book was published? his memoir?
Yes.
Okay.
In 2019.
But if I did it.
Yeah, it's called Compton Street Legends.
Oh, okay.
And he was also interviewed by police about Tupac in 2008. And apparently he implicated himself in the crime way back then as well.
Oh.
But he hasn't been arrested until 2023. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
According to the police, they waited on this for so long because they didn't have enough evidence. We have this person, Orlando Anderson, that was involved with Tupac in an altercation hours before. They've got the 40 caliber Glock. His uncle is putting himself in the car where the murder took place. There's known beef between East Coast, West Coast, the Bloods, the Crips. They have a clear description of the white Cadillac with California plates that went into the body shop like right after the murder.
Yeah.
So you could argue this entire investigation was stalled and it should have been pretty open and shut. Dwayne Davis is now going to be put on trial for Tupac's murder. And that's why we're talking about this now, because until now there have been, as far as like we've publicly known, like no suspects that were going to have a trial. Like there was no movement in the case, but the trial has been pushed back multiple times. So it kind of just got to the point where it was like, okay, we just need to talk about this.
Yeah,
finally.
Let's talk about this. Yeah.
Yeah. Dwayne Davis has pleaded not guilty. His defense claims Davis just wrote the book to make money. He says it's a work of fiction. I'm sorry.
Oh, man. He should have just wrote a rap about it.
He says he embellished and lied, and the police and prosecutors do not have a murder weapon or a car from which the shots were fired that they can like tie everything to, because of like the car that was allegedly used went into the auto body shop, and it's been years now. So there's going to be like no evidence in that car. So they're basically trying to say that the prosecution's case is circumstantial, which it might be at this point because so much time has passed.
Yeah.
That's part of the problem with this is they had all the evidence right in front of them and they were like, we'll just deal with this 25 years from now.
Yeah, that seems, I mean, it is police, so that could make sense. But at the same time, it's like, I wonder if there were people at play who were like trying to delay it from happening so that it was the mystery of Tupac's death was bigger than one person being involved with it.
That's true, too. And then also Tupac didn't exactly have a buddy-buddy relationship with the police. So other people have said that the police, you know, didn't like Tupac. And so they're like, why are we going to bother with all these resources trying to solve his murder?
Yeah. All the resources of we already have all the pieces. Walk over there and arrest someone.
Dwayne Davis also said he was promised immunity in 2010 when he told authorities in L.A. that he knew about Tupac and Biggie's shootings. But prosecution is claiming they have strong evidence against Dwayne Davis. So we'll see what happens. The trial was supposed to happen on June 3rd. Then it got pushed back to November 4th. And now it's supposed to happen March 2025.
Okay.
Suge Knight is currently back in prison. He is serving time in California for manslaughter after killing a Compton businessman named Terry Carter in January of 2015. Suge and one of his longtime rivals, Claybone Sloan, had been in an altercation outside of a burger stand. Apparently, Suge was upset about how he was portrayed in some biopic. Straight out of Compton.
Oh, yeah. That's what I was wondering. Yeah.
Which Sloan had consulted on. So he was mad because he was involved in how he was portrayed in the movie. So Suge gets in his car and he clipped him with his truck, seriously injuring him. And then he sped through the parking lot and ran over Carter and fled. He'll be eligible for parole in 2034. And it's possible he will be a witness in the Dwayne Davis trial.
Okay. Yeah.
So now it is time to get into the conspiracies and theories about Tupac's murder.
Okay.
But any thoughts before we do that?
If he was dead, it seems like this person, it was Orlando or Dwayne or, you know, someone in their family, someone very close to them who did it. And it's an open and shut case. Like we know if he was dead, that this is what where we'd be pointing at, right? Like, I don't know. I think, and we can get into the conspiracies a little bit more, but the control of it, like, these are people who we know now try to withhold information. You know, there's politics and media, politics and music. Now, does Tupac and Biggie, do they have a bigger legend, again, because of the aura of their mysterious death? Like, we don't know who did it. We have all these, like, things. There's this beef. There's Bloods and Crips. There's, like, all these other things around it. And is it better to just, like, leave it at that and, like, let their legends live versus, you know, that? But, I mean, for both of them, we also have, yeah, his album right after his death was, or was Life After Death. So it's almost prophetic. Tupac has all these albums after he's dead that were released and kind of hint at things like that. So there's the fun of it, but it is interesting how if we're just going by if he died, then why did it take this long to point the finger at the obvious suspect?
Exactly.
Like, it's not like, oh, some new evidence came out and we have video footage from the McDonald's down the street that shows four guys hopping out of this Cadillac and then going into something else and we can now identify. It's like, no, we pretty much, everything is kind of lined up to just be a knockoff, like walk in the park, like easy open shut case, as you said. So
the other thing I wonder about too, and I don't know how much of this they'll get into in the trial, but like during that time period, did they have keys for the hotel rooms? Did they have key cards? Because Orlando Anderson is claiming he went back to his hotel and went to sleep. Like, did they look at security footage to see if he went back? Did they check if he accessed his room at that certain time? You know what I mean? So I'm curious if they'll get into that at all during the trial, or if they even bothered to investigate it when it first happened. Because at this point, if they didn't, they definitely don't have that footage or those records.
Yeah, way long ago. So interesting.
So conspiracies. There are allegations that record labels were involved in Tupac's murder due to rap rivalry.
Mm-hmm.
There are claims that the shooting was orchestrated by people in the government or by police as a retaliation for all of his activism. And like I said, he didn't have the best relationship with the police. And that's why there were all these stalls in the investigation. He was also apparently cremated the day after he died. So they didn't have a lot of time to look at his body.
Yeah. See, that's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
And his ashes look the same.
There is an autopsy photo that I have to show you if you want to see it. It is gruesome.
Yeah.
I'm probably not going to put it in the video, but I will show it to you. I'll put the sources in the show notes if people want to see it. Connections drawn to other unsolved murders, like the notorious Biggie Smalls conspiracy, and that Suge Knight was apparently involved in his murder. Like, people say Suge was involved in Biggie Smalls' murder. And it's been alleged that Tupac wanted to leave death row and be on his own.
Mm-hmm.
This would have left Suge Knight really pissed off, probably, and struggling financially. Suge was also already going through some financial issues around the time of Tupac's murder.
Yeah, that part is that it would be interesting if it was Suge trying to prevent him from leaving, or maybe he tried to, because he knew Tupac was bulletproof, as he said, maybe he was just sending a warning or something like that. And
yeah, but like, he was driving the car.
Yeah,
that just seems so stupid to me. Why would you order a hit on somebody when you're in the car? He got grazed too. Like, it just seems too dangerous.
Yeah, that is fair.
I don't know. When Suge got out of prison, he did file for bankruptcy also. And then there is, in the opening seconds of the very first track on Tupac's 1996 album, Bomb First, My Second Reply, the words, Suge shot me.
Yeah.
Suge also paid $3 million, according to him, for Tupac's cremation. Then...
Wait, $3 million for cremation?
Yeah. Oh, I wanted to look this up. What's the average cost of being cremated?
I would assume not $3 million.
No, there's no way.
Yeah. At least like $2, but...
And this was in Las Vegas. So in Nevada. Let's do that. Cost of cremation with a memorial service. This is including the memorial service, is between $3,000 and $6,000.
Yeah.
So what are you paying $3 million for?
Expedite it to high. And yeah, like that, that's where it looks fishy. And that's where I'm like.
Well, and then get this. The cremator disappeared. And no one has heard from him or seen him since.
He's in Cuba too.
So people wonder if this cremator was paid off, if he was asked to leave and stay quiet, or if he was killed.
Mm. Yeah.
So I thought that was really weird. Then we get into some P. Diddy conspiracy. People believe Diddy may have been involved in Tupac's murder and was actually the mastermind, the one that called for the hit in the first place. Eminem later made a diss track claiming this is what happened.
Yeah.
A book written by a former LAPD officer named Greg Kading also shared his same theory. He said that he believed Diddy hired a hitman to kill Tupac and that Suge retaliated, orchestrating a hit on Biggie.
Yeah. Hmm.
Which I'm not going to lie, that makes sense to me.
But the same hitman, though? That's crazy.
No, not the same hitman. But like Diddy hired a hitman.
Yeah.
To kill Tupac. And Suge was like, fuck you. And he orchestrated a hit on Biggie.
Yeah.
And finally, one of the biggest theories, one of the biggest conspiracies is that Tupac faked his own death and is still alive.
Mm-hmm.
People have said the same thing about Biggie. And there have been multiple sightings of both of them. One of the alleged sightings of Tupac came from 2012 from none other than Kim Kardashian.
Ooh, okay.
Suge Knight was also interviewed in 2017 when he implied that Tupac was still alive, saying, quote, "When I left that hospital, me and Pac was laughing and joking. I don't see how someone can go from doing that well to doing bad," end quote. And when he was later asked if he thought Pac was still alive, he said, "With Pac, you never know."
You don't. I mean, $3 million, though, for a cremation. I feel like I would be pretty certain that he was dead if I'm paying that much.
And then what happened to the cremator?
Yeah.
They said he disappeared. I don't like that.
I mean, disappeared. And that does leave a lot of...
But it could also mean that they just didn't bother looking for him. And they're like, we don't know where he is.
Knock, knock, knock.
Yeah.
Nope, no one's home. All right. That's how it seems that the police are handling things in this case, so.
There were also sightings of Tupac at a basketball game, the 2014 BET Awards.
BET.
Sorry. The 2014 BET Awards, a Lil Wayne concert in 2009. He was also spotted in the video by his crew, Outlaws, in Thug Life 2013. People have stated Tupac faked his own death after being inspired by the philosopher and political playwright Niccolo Machiavelli.
Yeah.
Who believed faking your death could be a way to gain advantage over your enemies.
Heck yeah.
People have even said Tupac changed his name to Machiavelli, referencing the philosopher, and it's an anagram of Am Alive K or Mock Alive.
Yeah, that's just a totally great anagram. That's like, I know you didn't watch Harry Potter. That's like...
I did watch Harry Potter. I just didn't read the books.
Voldemort is Tom Riddle, like Tom Marvolo Riddle. Anagrams to I am Lord Voldemort.
Wait, do people actually say that?
No, like he does that in the movie. In one of the movies, he like puts it out there and then they like rearrange the letters and that's where he... gets the word Voldemort from.
Okay, I don't remember that.
Yeah, so I'm just like, that.
Am Alive K.
Am Alive K. Oh my God.
The K in the anagram is thought to allude to Casanova the Don, a modern day rapper who has been compared to Tupac.
Hmm.
Towards the end of his career, Tupac performed under the alias Machiavelli, and he did release his album, The Don, Columinati, The 7-Day Theory.
Mm-hmm.
There is also an autopsy photo that was released of Tupac, and many people believe it is fake because it was reported at the time that there was not an autopsy.
That's what I'm saying.
So I'm going to show you this picture.
Okay.
So obviously, this is after they would have done the dissection. So they would have cut his skull here, cut his ribs, and then like that's where they do like the pull apart opening. The main thing that people have a hard time with is they talk about the way that his face shape looks, yeah, and then also his tattoos.
They don't line up.
apparently not, but it's also just like there's for people who are listening, there's a glare on his arm. So you can see that there's tattoos there, but it's just kind of blurry. But I see like 1, 2, 3 distinct tattoos.
Yeah.
And then I have a picture here of his different tattoos. And on this, I think it's this arm. There's 1, 2, 3 right there.
Yeah.
So
it does look similar.
And they, you can see like kind of the skinny lettering right there. And so I think it's this arm.
Yeah. And you can see the skull and everything.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah. So I don't know.
I mean, but.
But they also said an autopsy wasn't done. And then there's
a picture of an autopsy.
Right. Yeah.
And he was cremated the next day.
Yeah.
But Suge Knight paid for it and wasn't sure. I mean, what? Where did Tupac start? He said he was an actor. Mm-hmm. So maybe, you know, this could be all doctored up. He could just be acting here. I mean, he looks a little like Steve Harvey. Why does he have a mustache? I don't remember.
Does he have a mustache? Or he had a mustache, didn't he?
Might just be a shadow. But
he had a mustache.
But like that looks like a very fuzzy caterpillar.
It's like too thick.
I think that's just like the shadow too with his nose and stuff. Yeah. But I don't know.
It just looks like Steve Harvey's mustache a little bit.
Okay, so they said initially there wasn't an autopsy, but an official coroner's report did come out later. And then this just adds to the conspiracy. There's a lot of weird things about the coroner's report.
Okay.
In the coroner's report, they list Tupac as weighing 215 pounds. On his license, he weighs 168 pounds.
That's a big difference, yeah.
The license was issued May 11th, 1996, so just a few months before he was murdered.
Yeah.
So it's not like he could have just gained 47 pounds in the span of a few months.
Yeah.
I mean, and there's pictures of him from that night. He doesn't look like he's 215.
Yeah, I mean, how tall is he?
Good question.
Because, I mean, I'm 215. And
5'9".
Yeah, he doesn't, like, he would have to be a lot bigger, I feel like, to be 215 at 5'9". Like, even in this autopsy photo, yeah.
And he was physically in shape, like, all the time. And he was at awards shows that night, like, and there's footage of him, like, there's pictures and stuff. He was listed as being 6 foot in the autopsy as well. And his driver's license says he's 5'10". Google's just said 5'9", but...
He threw that Tinder out there.
Regarding the autopsy photo, people have also said the picture is fake because he is missing tattoos.
Mm.
I don't see what they're referring to, but I could be missing something. I don't know.
I don't know if he has any on his like body or anything like
that. Well, he does. He does. He has Thug Life tattooed on his stomach. Do I still have that pulled up? Oh, you can't really see it in this picture. But there's a lot of pictures of stomach tattoos, but I mean, I can kind of see, like, it looks like a tattoo right there.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But yeah, I mean, it's just, there's no way that man is 215.
Yeah, no, that's another good point, too. Just looking at this photo, it's like, yeah, no.
Unless he got a big booty.
They have also pointed out that this autopsy photo resembles a still from his California Love video.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I don't know. I haven't seen that video.
I've seen it, but I mean, I wouldn't know.
Some people have even alleged Pac posed for the photograph and makeup was used to fake his death, similar to the makeup he used for his death scene in the movie Bullet.
That's what I'm saying.
Casanova the Don has also released a song called Mystery that alluded to Tupac faking his death in his lyrics. There have been theories that he's living in Malaysia or Cuba. Tupac actually has an aunt that lives in Cuba. She got asylum there after her history of political activism in the U.S. There have been some images of him with different people, but they seem to be doctored. There's apparently some doctored images of him with Rihanna. So that's the photo of him allegedly with Beyoncé after his death.
Interesting. Yeah, that, I mean, he does...
I mean, it looks like him, but also it could be a, you know, doctored photo. The hand looks weird. You see, like,
yeah, the there's no green tint on him.
And like, what is this? This, like,
that's her shoulder.
But like, what is?
That's just how her dress is.
Well, it's a weird angle then. Suge Knight's son also heavily alleged in 2018 that Tupac is still alive and living in Malaysia, showing alleged screenshots of text messages and an image of Tupac, 50 Cent, and Beyonce. He claimed that the shooting was staged. He has shared videos on his Instagram of a man that looks like Tupac, claiming it was filmed in Malaysia and saying people are attempting to silence him from sharing the truth. He even posted a video claiming powerful people that were part of the supposed secret society, the Illuminati, were following him.
Yes.
So we are diving deep into the conspiracy hole.
We're right getting now. Into it. Jay-Z is part of the Illuminati. That's all I'm saying.
The story's so crazy.
Yeah, I mean, there's way too many inconsistencies for me to believe that. I don't know. Like, I don't know. I feel very much still that it is more likely that he is alive.
You think so?
Yeah. Especially that $3 million for cremation and then not being sure he's dead by Suge Knight. That is way too, I don't know.
Okay.
That right there proves to me like something happened that wasn't his death.
Tupac also seemingly predicted his own death many times on Richie Rich's, you want to read that album title?
Niggas Done Changed.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
For people listening, he can say that, I cannot. He rapped, "I've been shot and murdered. Can't tell you how it happened word for word, but best believe that
niggas
gonna get what they deserve." Thank you.
Yeah, got you.
On Ain't Hard to Find, he says, quote, "I heard rumors that I died, murdered in cold blood, traumatized, pictures of me in my final states. You know, mama cried, but that was fiction. Some coward got the story twisted." But he is like talking about dying in a lot of his songs.
Yeah.
So some people have pointed to that as him trying to give his fans hints, basically.
Yeah.
But also people talk about a lot of things. Like he wrote some different lines about having a baby mama, but he has no children. He's never had a baby mama that he says, and like he has no known children. So, and a lot of people say that he purposefully writes from different perspectives.
Yeah. And that is a big, big thing. I know that's something that Kendrick picked up from him and big part of rap, but I mean, Drake didn't have any baby mamas either until Adonis, so.
Oh, man.
And his new alleged daughter out there and probably others. But all right, so we're going to do Diddy after this. We're going to do Jay-Z and the Illuminati. We're going to do...
I've thought about doing the Illuminati for a while, but I don't even know where to start.
Jay-Z.
But I have also thought about doing a story on Diddy. If you guys want this stuff, like, let me know, because these are really big stories and I'm not just going to like voluntarily do them. I need somebody to like request it and then I'll be like, OK, fine, I'll do it.
Yeah. A little bit of baby oil.
Oh, my God. Too soon. Just a few weeks before his death, the I Ain't Mad at Ya video was filmed. There are several haunting visuals. The video documents him having a gun pointed at him and being killed while protecting a friend. It then cuts to him getting CPR and an ambulance, and then he ends up dying and he wakes up in heaven. There have also been several songs with some interesting titles. Death Around the Corner. I Wonder If Heaven Got a Ghetto. And If I Die Tonight.
Yeah.
He also spoke of his death many times. So the question is, was it being like just flexing his artistic ability? Was he paranoid? He knew someone had a hit out on him, or had he rehearsed it over and over? He was preparing to fake his death, trying to give his fans some hints, or is it just coincidence?
I mean, and also young black male in America, making it past 25 is not common, especially in the circles that he was in. Yeah,
for sure.
As rapper, as a lot of these things. So
that's very true.
That's been rapped about also since then a lot, so.
That's true. There are also two interesting music videos. The video for To Live and Die in L.A. and the video for Toss It Up. In these videos, Tupac is seen wearing sneakers that were not released before the rapper was killed.
Hmm.
They weren't even sold by Nike until November 96, and Tupac was murdered in September. It is possible that because he's a celebrity, he got these sneakers on like an early deal. That happens with athletes a lot, for example. But this is something that people have pointed out. There's also a picture of Tupac and Suge, and apparently it's the night that they were riding in the car that they were shot in. They're both seen posing in the car, but there are no keys in the ignition. There's no red tint on the windscreen where the reflection of the red light should be. So, like, apparently they... It's kind of confusing, but from what I was reading here, it's like they had the car parked right by the red light. They got in the car and like the shooting happened pretty much right away at the red light. So it's like if this was apparently right where the shooting was, then there should be like reflection on the window of the red light. And why are his keys not in the ignition? But if they're like taking a picture, why would the keys be in the ignition?
Did they... Are you saying that they parked the car in the middle of the street, right in front of the stoplight? That,
but if it's street parking, right by the light,
yeah, I think but is what they're saying. Could have been a green light at that time when they like. I don't know.
Yeah, this part I really didn't understand, but I wanted to include it. People have claimed that this photo was taken while they were stationary at the red light. But the date stamp on the photo reads September 8th, not September 7th. And Tupac was shot September 7th at 11:15. So that's the other weird thing is there's this picture. This is weird. This picture that supposedly happened the night of the murder is dated the day after Tupac was shot. Because back then, pictures had the dates on the top.
Yeah, but I mean, if it was at like 11:15... in Las Vegas, you know, that could have been a camera from that was set up in
from a different time zone in, or something. Yeah. That's true.
Unless it was like 11:15 p.m. on the 8th or something like that, then that I would be more, but you know, because it is right there Eastern time.
Yeah.
You know, and if he didn't stay in New York a lot, right? I'm assuming, or
I don't know. Yeah. No, that's a good point. So those are all of the different pieces of potential evidence that could point to the conspiracy theories. What are your thoughts?
Sounds like he was had a troubled life. Everything just kept on happening to him and kept on happening to him. He made his millions and, you know, he already wanted out of death row. So maybe Suge was like, well, I can't just let you out. So let's do something to get you out of here. But you're not making music again for anyone else. And so I was like, all right.
So you think allegedly Suge may have been involved?
Again, $3 million for cremation. One is insane. And two, his comments later on in life just point a lot more towards he knew something. He was involved with the aftermath of everything.
Yeah, I double checked myself real quick to make sure. Yeah, there are three separate articles that say $3 million. Yeah, no, that is really, really weird. I also think that the East Coast, West Coast allegations make sense, especially because Biggie was murdered like right after. It's hard because you're dealing with like these really powerful people that have these alleged gang ties and then nobody's talking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Obviously, distrust in the investigation that went on.
Which
after
fair.
Yeah.
And an understandable distrust in the police.
Yeah. And government, things like that. We just have like a lot of things that are way too coincidental or way too messy to not be like sleight of hand kind of stuff. Like, let's just see what gets lost in the weeds here and keep on moving. So I don't know if he 100% was involved with it or if he just realized at that time, like, look, this isn't going to stop for me. It's going to keep on happening. It's like, what, the third time he's been shot, yeah. You know, multiple fights and things like that. I don't know. He seems like he might have just wanted peace at that point. 25 years old. I need to get out of this. I need to do something else.
It's just hard for me, though, because don't get me wrong. People do it. But the starting a new life theory is just always so flimsy to me. Like, a lot of people say that when someone disappears or runs away, like, oh, they started a new life. And it's like, that's really hard to do. I mean, he has, like, he had wealth, he had connections and stuff, but did he have connections to people that could literally help him flee the country? I don't know. And then also, like, to uproot your whole life and go away from the second family and live in another country, I have a hard time buying that. But it also was probably easier to fake your death back then than it would be now.
Oh, sorry. I mean, it was 20-something years ago, or 30 years.
Yeah.
I also, again, the industry politics and things like that, I know people bring up, like, Triple X Tenacion and how he might have been killed by Drake because, or, like, kind of, like, for industry stuff. There's a lot of things with that I don't want to go into, but sometimes death can sell.
Yeah. So
I don't know if it necessarily, like, he does have connections, so, like, if he did want to leave, they probably would have been fine with having him die and be a martyr as opposed to continuously going to jail and, you know, things just representing a different kind of thing. Because now the legend of Tupac is forever, or is changed a lot. Like, if he would have, you know, gone to jail and turned into a Suge Knight kind of person where he kind of just always shady, he's just someone else, like, would we still revere him the same way? Would we still think about him in the same way if his life continued in that way? So that's where I'm like, there's some things that are, it might have solved for him and made him, and other people way higher up would have been more, would have sold it to them basically to help out. So, but we'll never know. We'll see what happens in this trial if we get some serious evidence. And
yeah, I might try to follow the trial closely and do a part two if you guys want that. So stay tuned, question mark. We'll see. Man. Also, did you catch that Dwayne Davis has cancer?
Yeah.
They said that in 2018. So it's like, okay, if he has cancer and now his trial keeps getting pushed back, what if he quote unquote conveniently dies like right before his trial? Or what if he does actually pass from cancer and then we like don't get an answer, you know?
There are few people who are that popular and that big that there's this much mystery surrounding their death and this much, like, I don't want to say fumbling, but like just like there is so many questions still for someone that big. If, again, if he is dead and he died at that stop sign, like, it should have been an easy shut and close case. So, like, how did we get 25 or 28, 9 years later?
But that's the problem, too, is, like, there's so many true crime cases where that happens.
To big people as popular as him, though?
No, I'm just saying in general.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying is, like, there's a level of popularity. And again, also with Biggie's death, both of them were so popular.
And his is unsolved, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And did we just, you know, wipe our hands clean and say gangs bad?
That's what I think. I feel like the police didn't care enough to do proper police work. Like, they literally had all the answers in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just like, well.
Huh? Well, we'll see.
Yeah.
I'm excited for the trial. And yeah, we can definitely follow up on it. Nothing else, like, just a quick, you know, episode, like, recapping what happened. Not guilty, guilty.
Yeah.
He's still in Cuba.
So we may never know 100% who was behind the death of Tupac. We also may never know if he died at all. But one cannot deny the impact he left on hip-hop and American entertainment. With 5 number one albums, 6 Grammy nominations, a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, and an induction into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Tupac showed us that music can be about so much more than just partying and having a good time. Music can also be powerful and provoke change. Music can make you question, be angry, and teach you important truths. Like his mother, Tupac was an activist, and he was not afraid to question the system. I certainly think there's something we can learn from his story, and that is the perplexing case of the murder of Tupac Shakur.
murder.
I think he's dead. TJ doesn't, so. But I know that was a really big story. I hope I didn't upset anyone with it. I know it's kind of a controversial one, but I appreciate TJ requesting it, and I loved learning about it. I honestly didn't know much at all about Tupac, and it was cool learning about East Coast, West Coast, and all those rivalries, and like, I don't know, all these different ties to all these other celebrities, Snoop Dogg, Diddy, Dr. Dre, Biggie. It was just a lot of really cool stuff to learn about. And then I always like a conspiracy, so.
And I know, like, I'm big into hip hop and all that stuff, but yeah. I don't know a lot about the 90s. So, and the earlier stages of hip hop, it's good to kind of like learn a little bit more about Tupac and like the other things that he was wrapped up in. I knew a little bit about like, all right, Diddy and Biggie versus Suge and Tupac. I knew like some about their relationship, and then everything else is just other people referencing, and you know, the legend of Tupac and how he's inspired so many of the people who I listen to, and he changed a lot of that. So it's just interesting. Thank you for having me on.
Glad you enjoyed. If you guys have no idea how long we've been putting this together. So yeah,
I'm more of a behind the scenes guy. Yes. I do a lot of the technical stuff. So
yeah, for those of y'all who don't know, all of the tech stuff, the programs we need, the lighting, my short content, that is TJ. Yeah. So now you guys get the face and the voice. Well, thanks for coming on. It was fun. And just want to remind everybody of a couple things really quickly. So as always, if you enjoyed this episode, let me know. Drop a comment down below if you're watching on YouTube, like this video, and hit the subscribe button. If you're listening on Spotify, you can also leave a comment on this exact episode telling me your thoughts. And if you have not done so, please, please, please be leaving a 5-star review on Spotify podcasts, Apple podcasts, wherever you can leave those 5-star reviews. It really, really helps. If you want to support the show even more, you can always check out the support links down below. There's my merch link, Buy Me a Coffee link, Patreon links, all of that good stuff. Just continue to let me know if you guys have any story requests and listener stories. I am collecting those for, I'm hoping to do a listener story episode soon, and I have a couple of submissions so far. So send those in to perplexitymysterypodcast@gmail.com. You all are amazing. Hope you have a great week and stay safe. And I will talk to you next week. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Perplexity, a mystery podcast hosted, written, and produced by Kadra Brannon. Assistant producer is TJ McRae. If you enjoyed today's episode, tell the world about it by leaving a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. It really is the best way to support. Have a topic request or a perplexing story of your own you'd like to share? Send an email to perplexitymysterypodcast@gmail.com. If you would like to support the show further and unlock exclusive bonus content, join the Perplexed Society at patreon.com/perplexitymysterypodcast. Perplexity merch and additional support links can be found in the episode description. Until next week. Stay curious.
Hey, let's talk about something a lot of us deal with, thinning hair or hair loss. If that sounds familiar, CAPS has solutions. Their hair restoration treatments are personalized, designed to strengthen your existing hair, encourage regrowth, and improve scalp health. The providers at CAPS guide you every step of the way with advanced treatments for noticeable, long-lasting results. And when you book your first hair restoration appointment, you'll get a $50 CAPS MedSpa gift card. Book today at experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
A burst pipe. A dead water heater. The AC calling it quits. Who do you call? HomeServe is an easy way to handle unexpected home repairs with plans covering stuff basic homeowners insurance usually won't. Instead of scrambling for a contractor, you make one call to get the repair process started. Join the millions of customers who trust HomeServe right now. Go to homeserve.com/podcast for 50% less your first year. That's homeserve.com/podcast. Savings compared to renewal price, void in Florida.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.